This summer, it came from Mid-America. Oklahoma, Knuckle Track, Bart Cop Radio.
This next story starts out with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Years ago, maybe 10, he was in a movie called, I think, Time Cop. And for the movie Time Cop, they developed this swirling kind of deal. It's like a, looks like a ripple in a lake. You throw a rock into the lake and the ripples go outward. Well, they developed this technology, and that was the first movie to use it. And in the movie, he'd go back in time and fix stuff. He was a time cop, which, as a longtime reader of the old Superman comic books, you know they got your conundrum there that if you go back in time and fix something, then it never happened, so there's no reason to go back in time and fix it, so then it did happen, so then you go back and fix it, but since you fix it, it never happened, etc., etc. When they got done using that for that movie, the Sliders TV show bought the technology. Sliders is one of Mrs. Bart's favorite shows. This is years ago. It's been off 3-4 years. Seems like it was on 3-4 years. But the whole point of the Sliders show was that there is a myriad, maybe 1,000 different Earths. And in every one of the Earths, if something worked out a little different, that would therefore create a different result down the road. Now, whenever you talk about one of these, you know, if you're always looking for the extreme, you talk about Hitler. So let's say, in this example here, with the Sliders example, when Hitler was 30 years old, he's driving to work, wherever he worked when he was 30, and he got hit by a train and was killed. Okay, so then Hitler obviously never came to power, so there never was a World War II, at least as we know it, and therefore America never had to build up her defense, etc. So had Hitler been killed when he was 30, think how different the whole world would be. Everything would be so different. It might be better, it might be worse. There's no way to tell. Part of the conundrum here is if you could go back, you know, it's like if you could go back and prevent 9/11, would you do that? And your first answer would be, well, sure, but then again, we're all here and we're alive now. If we hadn't had 9/11, maybe Bin Laden would have taken extra time and just gone ahead and gotten an atomic bomb and wiped out New York and Philly and the whole Northeastern Corridor. I don't know, it'd take more than one bomb to do that, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, we might have had 10 million deaths instead of 3,000. So, in that regard, we're lucky to have had the 9/11. I mean, not lucky, but that's why you can't go back and change things, because you never. Star Trek did that a couple times, too. The Star Trek with Joan Collins. They went back in time and accidentally changed something. Oh, she was a peacenik in World War II in the late 30s. And she said, let's not get into the World War. And so Hitler became bigger than he was, and then the Germans took over the world. And it changed all history. So Spock and Kirk and Bones had to go back in time and change whatever it was that they prevented. And it turns out, a little sidebar, that Bones prevented Joan Collins from getting hit by a truck. And Kirk had to stop him from doing that. And by killing Edith Keeler, the United States got into World War II, and therefore we won, and we became a superpower, and then later on the Federation, yeah, 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 and that's how we got Star Trek. So if you look at that same example, I guess you've got 100 examples in your life, too. You know, the thing all the times when you were getting ready to leave the house, you remembered, oh, darn, I left my sunglasses. So you go back in the house, and then the phone rings, and it's your old buddy calling, offering you a job, or it's your, you know, your old boss, or it's some, you know, some old girlfriend calling, wanting to know if you're still single, that kind of thing, how your whole life changed because you remembered that you forgot your sunglasses and you went back. Had you had the brains to take your sunglasses with you, you never would have gone back to the house. You never would have gotten the phone call. Your life would not have changed. I'm sure you got 100 of those in your life. Everybody does. I remember there was one in my life where I worked at a finance company in 1977, 78, somewhere in there, and inflation was rampant. Carter was president, and inflation was gone crazy. At this finance company, our specialty was making second mortgage loans on your home, obviously, if it's a mortgage. And what we would do, So you owed $5,000 here, $2,000 there, $8,000 there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're drowning in debt. What we would do is take your house for collateral, get you by the cojones, and then lend you enough money to pay off your bills. And instead of paying out $1,500 a month in payments, you'd just give us a mere $200, of course, at 21%. That's how we make our money. So one day, I'm standing there, and the boss keeps saying, we got to get every loan we get. Everyone you meet, ask them if they need a loan. So the UPS man comes in. I said, hey, UPS man, you need a loan? You got a bunch of debts? And all that. He said, you know, I've been wanting to buy a riding lawnmower for my new property. And if I had an extra, I don't know what they cost, $1,200, $1,500, who knows? He said, I could buy that, and I could consolidate some bills. And yeah, yeah, so we took his application. Turns out he bought a house for $60,000 about 18 months ago, and now it was worth $79,000. His house was making about $1,000 a month, which was more than I was making at the time. In 77, 78, I was making, I think, 880 or 920 or something a month. And here this guy was living in what at the time was a castle, and his castle was appreciating at $1,000 a month, which is more than I was making. I'm thinking, well, why do I bust my ass? Not really. I'd never worked hard in my life. But why am I working here 40, 50 hours a week and making the same amount of money that he's making, sitting there smoking a cigar, watching TV in his house? I'm thinking, hey, there's money to be made here. I need to do something. So I put my good credit together, and I scraped up $1,500 or $2,000, something like that, dollars. And we bought a little home, little tiny home for $23,000. And yeah, boy, you had to run, jump through 100 hoops. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we were in the house 4 months, and I let it be known that the house was for sale. And some guy offered me $26,000 for my $23,000 house. And I'm thinking, hey, check me out. Check old Bart. I'm making $3,000 after whatever, 4 months, 5 months. So I'm almost making $1,000. I mean, yeah, there's expenses in that. But here I was on my way. I was going to become the interstate mogul. So we moved out of there, and we bought a $52,000 house in 1979. And we couldn't really afford it, but we figured, hey, it's going to be, you know, it's going to make $1,000 a month or more, because inflation was just going nutto. If you remember back, Reagan's misery index was because inflation was 15, 18, 20%, and unemployment was 15, 18, 20%, and interest rates, I mean, everything was going crazy. But I was going to take advantage of that. So we bought this house. And, oh, Lord, we were in the house maybe a year. And then today is November the 4th, the 25th anniversary. 24, I give up. It's the anniversary of the Iranian hostage takeover, that eventually put Bush and Reagan into power. When those bad Iranians took our embassy people hostage, that created the hostage crisis, and it plunged the Jimmy Carter reelection campaign into chaos because he was seen as weak and ineffective because he wanted to get those people out alive. And they always said, oh, they humiliate Jimmy Carter every day by dangling these hostages in front of him. And I've said it before, I still don't see that. How in the world do you humiliate a guy who values life? These hand jobs over in Iran, they were promising to kill them all. They were, you know, they had them handcuffed and blindfolded, and they were marching them around all the time and making them jump through hoops and stuff. And all we could do is take it. We could go in there and bomb them, and they would kill all the people. And that's what we were trying to prevent. Meanwhile, Bush and his CIA buddies worked out a secret deal with the terrorists to hold those people longer. And, oh, we all forgive them, because all they did was cause 100 people or 50. You know, they started with 150 and then let 50 go, and then later they let 30 or 40 go. And that, so the number kept changing, but that's what they did. They didn't quite torture, but they sort of were torturing these people, you know, blindfolded, handcuffed. Yeah, that's torture. Over a period of, seems like it was a year and a half or 400 days, something like that. The October surprise began as Carter's surprise to get the hostages out, and it evolved into a Reagan, you know, the Reagan-Bush thing that you know about, William Casey flying, Casey and Bush flying to Paris to make a secret deal with the terrorists, which is a hallmark of the BFE. They'll do business with anybody. They'll do business with the devil himself. They'll do business with evil itself, which these days is Dr. Cheney. So that was the deal. Carter's trying to get the hostages out, and Reagan and Bush were making a secret deal behind the scenes. No, keep the hostages, keep the hostages. Jimmy Carter asked the military to put together a rescue squad, whatever you want to call it. And they came to him, and they said, we think it's going to take 6 helicopters to pull this off. But what we want to do is send 8 helicopters, because it's going to be in the sand, it's in the Iranian desert, For some reason, we don't build our helicopters to withstand any sand. No, our helicopters work great in the mud, but when it comes to sand, they fall. So they said, what we're going to do is send 8 helicopters. In case 2 of them go down, we still have 6. We can get away with the mission. And they said, Carter said, okay, make it so. So they sent these 8, whatever they were, helicopters, into the Iranian desert. And they needed 6, remember? But it turns out 3 of them started choking on the sand, and they went down. And they had a crash, and it blew up, and it turned into a big thing. And even though this was a military screw-up, of course, they had to blame it on Jimmy Carter, because liberals are weak and ineffective, and they don't know what they're doing, as though Jimmy Carter was the pilot of the chopper that crashed. You know, they didn't. I'm not saying we have to blame the guy, and it all gets down to what happened. If they said, Mr. President, we don't think we can pull this off, and he says, damn it, I'm telling you to send those choppers in, now it's on Carter's shoulders. But if he goes to the military and says, can we pull this off? And they said, yes, sir, we can do it with 6. And just to be double sure, we'll take 8. That way we got no problem at all. We can handle this, sir. It's no problem. Then they get over there and 3 of the helicopters go bust, leaving them 5 instead of 6. At that point, Carter aborted the mission, or maybe he gave them orders up front. If you don't have all 6, abort the mission. So that turned into a disaster. The hostage takers, the terrorists, they kept those people until after the election to make Carter look bad. The whole time Reagan was saying, boy, when I'm president, we're not going to have any of this shit. John Wayne Reagan, they won't try any of this crap with me because they know I'll glass the sons of bitches. I'll just take them over. I'll blow the whole thing off. Ooh, we're so scared. Oh, Mr. Reagan, oh, he's so powerful. He's like another W. But see, all the time, we didn't know Reagan made him a secret deal, that son of a bitch. And we don't know if Reagan knew anything about it. We know that Bush was actually the president from 1980 until 1992, so maybe Reagan didn't know anything about it. When Iran-Contra and all that stuff hit, he stood there and said, I don't have a damn idea what in the world you're talking about. Even though it's my administration, I don't have a clue what's going on, because I'm Reagan, just like W. I'm completely stupid. I don't have an idea in 10,000 what could be going on in my administration. Instead of it being a success, it turned out to be a big, massive failure. Carter lost the presidency. Reagan got into office. He started with the giant tax cuts that ruined the economy. Granted, it killed inflation, but what it did, it shut down the economy. The economy crashed and burned. It just went down to zero. And, of course, there was no inflation. When the economy is in the dumper, it was just totally screwed. See, that was Carter. What'd they say? Too many dollars chasing too few goods. That's how they put it on Saturday Night Live. But, yeah, we were making money and prosperous and everything under Carter, but there was this inflation. Oh, the old people liked it because their paychecks were going through the roof, but then the people wanting to borrow money for loans, you know, they were paying a high interest rate, but then again, with the prices of houses appreciating $1,000 a month, hey, you got to buy a house, because if you don't buy one for $80,000 this week, it's going to be $90,000 by the summer, so you got to buy it, you know, because it just is skyrocketing up. That's when we got in the real estate business, so to speak. And, of course, once we had our house, as soon as we signed the mortgage, those helicopters crashed, and my real estate career came to a halt. So it's just funny how in this sliders parallel example, had that one other helicopter worked, had the military come up with 6 working choppers instead of 5, Carter might have got those hostages out. He might have been reelected. He might have gone on to do a lot of good things, and we wouldn't have had to put up with the Reagan-Bush nightmare. And a little sidebar, the whole time, Reagan had his people say, all of you, we're asking all our friends in the military, if you see any kind of activity, if you see any kind of activity at all where you think Carter might be making a move to free those hostages, please let us know so we can blow the whistle on it. It was effing treasonous. They said, if anyone sees America trying to save their captives, we want you to narc on them. We want you to scream bloody murder so we can warn the Iranians, and they'll either shoot them out of the sky or move the hostages or something. But Reagan and Bush publicly did all they could to undermine the foreign policy of the United States, which is illegal. It's a crime, but everybody knows Republicans can't commit a crime. The only people that can commit a crime is a Democrat. No matter what a Republican does, it's legal. That's why Bush can murder 100,000 Iraqi civilians and still be declared some moral leader. But Kerry's a bad man because he's for women's rights. See how that works? So that was the deal. So we fast forward again. Bart, where are you going with this? Well, here, we're going to tie it up now. We just lost a big-ass election. We lost a heartbreaker, a dagger right through the neck. But the only reason we have to put up with Bush now is because his cousin called the race for him back in 2000. Now, in this little sliders example, think about this. I don't even know the guy's name. It was John something, John Smith, John Adams, John something, over at Fox. And what happened? They didn't know what to do with Florida. Am I go for Bush? Am I go for Gore? We just don't know. It's a toss-up. And see, a liberal will sit there all day and say, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, no, I just don't know what to do. Oh, no, woe is me. I just don't know. And they just sit there and they wring their hands. And the Republicans say, damn it, here's our chance. And so that John guy, Bush's first cousin over at Fox, he jumped up and said, fuck it. Florida goes for Bush. And everyone said, oh, check this out, headline, flash, Bush wins Florida. And all the other networks, like little damn children, oh, me, look at me. They ran into the spotlight. Oh, look here, Bush won Florida. Look here. It's so amazing. Oh, look here, we got the scoop. And so the entire universe, the entire slide took place right there. Just because that one bastard at Fox News, the lyingest whore network there is, that one guy decided his cousin, what kind of whore network allows the guy's cousin to make a judgment call that changes history? But he did it because Republicans are bold and the Democrats are a bunch of sissy wimpies. They sit back, oh no, looks like the other guy won, oh no, what are we going to do? Democrats are so pitifully inept, they just can't stand to win, they just refuse to win, they will not. Win comes to the door. Hi, I'm Wynn. Can I come in? They might let him in, but they won't get out of their damn easy chair. If they got to stand up to Wynn, they won't do it. They want Wynn to jump into their lap in the Lazy Boy. They will not stand up. They just don't have the guts for it. So the whole time, think of how the heartache we had to put up with on November 2nd, all that went back to that one guy at the Fox desk in 2000 taking it on his own initiative to change history. One bastard, one lying, conniving, an inside job from the beginning, SOB, jumped up and called it for his first cousin, and that changed all of history, the whole sliding thing. Now, I think somewhere in this world there might be a universe where Fox had a shade more integrity, and they didn't let Bush's cousin call the election for him, and then Al Gore actually won the 2000 election. And maybe we got hit on 9/11 under Al Gore, maybe we didn't. I still think Bush gave the Taliban an ultimatum. You want the carpet of gold, you want the carpet of bombs, and they said, you go to hell. And Bush said, then I'm coming, I'm going to blow you off the map. And since one thing Bush is good at, it's murdering people, they knew he meant it. So at that point, Osama and his little minions there, they decided to strike first. You know, if you're going to be screwed to death anyway, if you're going to die in a few seconds, you might as well take a shot at the other guy. And I think that was their reasoning. That's why they hit New York. I remember saying at the time, no power on earth was going to stop America from blowing something up after 9/11. And they had to know that. They had to know it was a suicidal move up front. But if Bush said, I'm coming to get you, they had nothing to lose by striking New York first, knowing that Bush was going to come murder him here, you know, a month later. Gore almost certainly would not have issued an ultimatum to the Taliban. We're either going to give you a carpet of gold or a carpet of bombs. So in that respect, I think 9/11 would not have happened. But even if it did, Gore would have gone after Afghanistan and the Taliban. He would not have gone into Iraq and plunged the whole world into this incredibly World War III is coming with nuclear overtones. Right now, there's not a country on the planet that respects America. And we could have had all that different if just that little slide back in 2000, that one guy, think of that John fellow, Bush's cousin that called it at Fox. Think if he had been in a car wreck that day. Hell, think about if he had twisted his ankle and been on crutches, maybe he wouldn't have been as mobile. Maybe he couldn't have run into the next room and said, hey, I've got a decision or whatever. Maybe he was having sex with his wife 9 months earlier and the condom broke and now she's pregnant. And so instead of being at the Fox desk on election night, he was at the hospital delivering his baby. Now, see, think how a condom holding together 9 months before the election in 2000, that would have changed all of history if that John guy hadn't been on duty that night. Maybe another Fox Republican would have jumped up and called for Bush. We don't know that. All we know is what history shows us. That one guy making that one decision changed 2000. That ended up changing 2004. We don't know what 2008 is going to bring, but just think how the entire planet is such a different place because Fox News allowed Bush's cousin to call the election for him. And have you heard one, besides Michael Moore, have you heard anybody criticize that? CBS didn't have a problem with it. ABC didn't have a problem. CNN didn't have a problem. NBC didn't have, New York Times. Nobody had a problem with Bush's cousin calling that. Think of, this is like Don King's, you know, sister calling a fight. And she calls it for Don King's boxer. Well, gee, Who would have thought? You know, but no, in politics they get away with the shit. And why do they get away with it? Because the gelding Democrats refuse to tell them, no, you can't do that. When Bush's cousin called for Bush, someone should have said, how do you figure? And, you know, show me your work. Why did you come to that conclusion? Give us a clue. But no, they said, oh, really? Okay. And they ran in front of their own cameras and said, look here, we got you a scoop. Bush won Florida. Bush is the president. And why is that damn Gore whining about everything? Listen to Gore the whiner, sore loser. Listen to the sore loser man. Remember how all that worked? Of course you do. But the whole idea, it was all just that one guy. If he had not made it to work that day, we might be in Gore's second term. We might have those Toyota Prius, whatever those cars are, we might have 10, 20, 30 million of those on the road right now had Gore won in 2000. Because Gore, I think, certainly would have gone, he would have recognized the problem with the oil in the Middle East, and he would have put America on a course towards alternative energies, and that would have pissed off the oil companies, which is why the oil companies gave so much to Bush in 2000 and in 2004. The oil companies had to have this. They knew if Bush got into office, he would cause a war, he would make the price of oil skyrocket, he would make Exxon and Texaco and all those others so many hundreds of billions of dollars that they did not earn. And they, today they stand there and they say, oh, we're accidentally, profits are up 62%. And the Democrats say, gee, isn't that interesting? Instead of saying, you sons of bitches, you stole that money from the poor. How dare you do that? The Democrats once again go to sleep. Gee, you talk about slides. What if the Democrats had come up with a pair of balls somewhere? What if somewhere years ago some Democrat would have said, hey, I'm tired of taking it. I'm going to stand up now. We're going to fight back, damn it. But no, that hadn't happened. Take away Clinton, you got to go back to Lyndon Johnson in 64 to find a Democrat with balls, someone that ran for office that had a pair. Now, isn't that sad that no one in the entire Democratic Party has got a pair who's willing to stand up for what's right? Democrats are a little mealy-mouthed appeasers. Oh, we don't want to do that. Oh, no, someone might get mad. We can't do none of that. Oh, we better just be quiet. We'll just go in the corner and wet ourselves. Please don't hurt me. That's the Democratic Party. I'm sick of it. How about you? Wouldn't it be nice if we could slide into a universe where the Democrats had some balls, where it was a fair fight, where the Democrats weren't just a bunch of Barney Fife sitting in the corner quaking and shaking, hoping somebody doesn't sneak up behind them and say, boo? Wouldn't that be nice?
Because I am whatever you say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am?